All right, we are back. Episode 16 of the Reporter's Corner. I'm one half of your co-host, Jared Rubato from the Bemidji Pioneer. With me is the other half of the co-host, Trent Singer from Sioux Falls Live. Trent, how are we doing today?
Doing good. We're knocking them out early here. Give ourselves a little bit of a reprieve next week. So we're recording this one in advance of the Northern and Michigan Tech series. So we don't know how it plays out. But by the time you guys listen to this, you will know how it will have played out. But we have another person on this show that was a part of that series. Last week we had Tynan Ewart from Northern Michigan on, and this week we have Isaac Gordon from Michigan Tech. So yeah, it was a really good chat.
Yeah, and we, you know, to kind of deep it, go into the scheduling side of it, like the next two or three weeks are just a whirlwind for scheduling. So we did two this week. We are going to do kind of the same thing next week where we record one and it goes the week after, and we should be back to regularly scheduled programming after that. But yeah, Isaac Gordon coming off another big weekend in against Minnesota State. He had the overtime winner, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So yeah, Michigan Tech, right? I mean, who would have thought Michigan Tech's back in this spot again in the second half of the season? And that's a joke because everybody would have thought it. So why don't you get into what we talked about with Isaac about?
You know, obviously we talked a little bit about this season. You know, right now he's been on the top line for Tech, which is just been a monstrous line in this conference. It's one of the best lines in the conference. I think you could make an argument it is the best line in this conference with Steven Sardarian at left wing and Logan Morrell at center, and then obviously at right wing, Isaac Gordon. So we talked a little bit about that line, and we got into his playing career. You know, he's from Landmark, Manitoba, which is just kind of the middle of nowhere, about 20 miles south of Winnipeg. We talked about his AAA career playing with Eastman Selects, and then, you know, a very, very brief junior career he had playing for the Stampede in Sioux Falls here. So we talked a little about that. You know, before he came to Tech, he was originally committed to go to Michigan State, ends up flipping and going to Tech, and I think they got him out earlier, ended his junior career a little earlier than expected. So he arrived last year as a freshman at Tech, had a monstrous season. He is the reigning CCHA Rookie of the Year. He can't win it again. But he was an all-CCHA second team guy, too, had 36 points, and we talked a little bit about just his first season, which was a very interesting one from Tech's perspective. It started off with no wins in October. They kind of middled their way through the season, and then by the time late January, I think maybe early February arrived, this team really started to put it together. And as we all know, they made a run in the Mason Cup playoffs. They win the Mason Cup, get the auto bid for the NCAA tournament. And that's kind of all she wrote. And Tech went on and lost to Boston College in the first round of the tournament. But we talked about getting the chance to play with the Pietola brothers and some of the stuff that just comes with playing at Tech, right? Like, you know, you've got an amazing student section with Mitch's Misfits. So we got his take on those guys and what that rivalry with Northern really looks like from a player's perspective. And then, you know, obviously we closed it out with our most notorious segment of the show, the one hitters. And so, yeah, it was a great chat with Isaac Gordon and another really good interview from a Tech player.
All right, let's kick it to our interview with Isaac Gordon.
Well, welcome into another episode here, the Reporter's Corner. This one will be pre-taped, so it's going to be coming out next week. We'll ask a little bit, you know, we're going to get into a little bit about what you guys are going to get into this weekend, but just to preface, you know, this was recorded before the Michigan Tech and Northern Michigan series to let everybody know, but we have Isaac Gordon on the show, coming off, honestly, a pretty solid weekend for you guys, really. And we'll kind of get into what's going on this season right now, Isaac. You guys are 13-9-2 coming off a split at Minnesota State, got a big series this weekend, again, against your UP rivals, Northern Michigan. You guys have seen a lot of these guys this year. But what can you say just about, you know, how this team is sort of putting it together right now here in the second half of the season? It's sort of what you guys did last year and kind of trying to do the same thing this year, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the makeup of the group is a lot different than last year. I mean, we're a very young group. So I think a lot of the stuff that our success that we're having is kind of coming off of getting more experience and that sort of thing. And getting guys in situations they haven't been in before and just getting acclimated to that and that sort of thing. But I think, just overall coming together, guys are getting to know the systems better, that sort of thing, kind of getting more and more buy-in from different roles and guys just kind of accepting their roles and knowing what they need to do each and every night.
Yeah, I mean, you get to play on one of the better lines in this conference, right? I mean, you had New Hampshire transfer Steven Sardarian. I mean, he's a stud right now. Logan Morrell, he's centering that line, obviously. And you guys have 50 points combined. Just what's it been like for you guys to play on that same line?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. We've juggled the lines quite a bit throughout the season because it's a lot of new guys and a lot of new faces, so we're trying to find different chemistries and different matchups, sort of like that. But obviously Morrell works super hard and get the puck back, finds areas to get open, and so that's always great to see, and he wins a lot of draws, so that's huge for us. And Steven, obviously, just super crafty, the puck just seems to be on a string for him. So I just try to when I'm with them, I just try to kind of complement both of those aspects, try to get the puck back, get it to Steven, get open, just use my shot as much as I can. But yeah, it's been good.
How do you feel like, you know, your guys' games complement each other? Because three individually are three different players, right? Each of you guys bring different stuff to the table. But how does it work so well on with you guys together as a line?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally this year, I've been trying to really grow my game and kind of learn how to be more of a driver for the line. Last year we had a lot of chemistry on my line last year and two veteran players. So I got to learn a lot from them and just kind of, you know, compliment them and kind of be like that sidekick to them a little bit. Just kind of know my role and do what I can do best, which is shoot the puck. So this year it's been a little bit different, and I've been trying to just know how to drive a line, be a forechecker, be able to get the puck, hold on to the puck, and just really create offense that way versus just maybe just getting open and trying to find those soft areas.
So I want to get in a little bit of your early career and kind of where it all started for you. You're from Landmark, Manitoba. That's a small town from when I looked it up. It's like, what, 20 miles, I think. I know you guys use kilometers up there, but 20 miles from Winnipeg, about south. Yeah. Tell me about Landmark growing up there and really kind of how your love of hockey sort of came to be.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, super small town. You know everybody. Like, I grew up with the same 16 or 18 classmates for my whole life till grade 12. So it's a pretty special place in that sense. You get to know everybody really well, and it kind of becomes almost like a family aspect there, just because you see the same people every day. You know everybody. You go to the gas station and you run into people, and there's conversations and that sort of thing. But I mean, just everybody plays hockey there. We have a rink. Everybody's got an outdoor rink. All your buddies at school play hockey. It's kind of just all you do during the winter. So yeah, you kind of just get immersed in it as soon as you're however old and learn how to skate. And then, it just kind of goes from there, and good competitive rivalries throughout like the small towns around Manitoba and that sort of thing. So it kind of just fuels you that way. And then, yeah, just being in Canada, it's kind of just your life from the beginning. So yeah, I just kind of fell in love with it that way.
Now, I've heard too, you're kind of a farm guy, right? Like kind of the impression I've gotten is that you grew up on a farm. Is that right? Or
my grandpa has a farm. So I've grown up around it for sure and help out in the summers when I can and that sort of thing. So it's been good. But yeah, like from where I'm from, it's a very like farming community, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. So it's, just in Manitoba in generally, it's a agriculture based area, and you kind of get immersed in it from a very young age.
How about your family? Did people play like in your family? Was hockey a big thing too?
My dad played when he was younger, nothing too serious, but some other family members. I have an uncle that played at Merrimack as a goaltender, and then everyone just kind of played growing up and then ever played minor, junior, and then hung him up. But yeah, just everybody kind of eats, sleeps, and breathes hockey from around there. So it's pretty easy to get into it.
What kind of farm does your grandpa have?
A grain farm. So he's, yeah, farms all sorts of crops and that sort of thing.
You have to get your hands dirty whenever you help out on the farm?
Yeah, when I helped out when I was younger, for sure, it was more, I'll put up a fence or shovel or grain bin. But Now, if I go back and help in the summer, it's more I get to drive the tractors and maybe sit in the air conditioning. So that's a little nicer, but yeah.
You graduated out of the shovel in the grain bin, huh?
I hope so. Yeah. Yeah.
You played AAA hockey for Eastman Selects. You had 80 points your last season of U18 and 21-22. And then from there, you only spent 1 year in the junior ranks in the USHL. You played just a couple games in Chicago, got traded to Sioux Falls, where you racked up 41 points in 58 games. Albeit brief, what was that experience like for you playing just in the junior ranks?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I got drafted to Chicago out of AAA in Manitoba, so I went there, felt like I had a pretty good camp and ended up making the team, but didn't end up really fitting into the lineup how I'd like to. So we ended up getting a trade to Sioux Falls, and ultimately a bigger role came about that. And I think it helped my game a lot from a growth standpoint, just from getting ice time and that sort of thing. And then the transition was a little bit slower. Like, obviously, at the start, I wasn't getting as many points as I was used to, I guess. And then we had some injuries, got some power play time, and kind of just took advantage of it and adjusted and ran from there.
You know, I got to ask, too, because Sioux Falls is known for having one of the better home rinks, and probably arguably the best home rink in the USHL. No bias. I mean, I know I live here, but the Denny Sanford Premier Center is one of the best places to play in the USHL. What was it like to get to play just in that environment every night for that 1 year of juniors that you did have?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I mean, every night you're having whatever 7,000-ish fans, and the odd night you have a packed, sold out 13,000 for the Wiener Dog night or whatever. So
yep,
it's an unreal experience. I mean, I'm used to watching NHL games at the MTS Center, and it's 15,000, and all of a sudden you're playing in front of 13,000. It's pretty surreal, and just the environment and how much that community cares about the team and the hockey there is pretty special.
I gotta ask you about Wiener Dog Night, because I have a wiener dog, so I went to school in Sioux Falls, and so I got to do that whole thing. I didn't get to throw my wiener dog.
Where's he at, Jared? Show him.
He's out of the room, so he's barking too much. But that is one of the coolest things in junior hockey, is that night where it's sold out from the moment they drop those tickets, and you guys get to wear the wiener dog jerseys. And just talk about how special that night is in Sioux Falls. And I got asked, did you get to keep the jersey with the wiener dog on it?
I did not get to keep it. It got auctioned off at the end of the night. Oh, yeah. I think it all goes to charity, so it's a better cause than me just hanging it up for
awesome
for giggles. But it's a very cool night. I mean, everyone's talking about it as soon as you get there. You get hoodies. Everyone's rocking wiener dog merch and that sort of thing. It's the buzz around town. So it's definitely kind of something that puts Sioux Falls on the map. I mean, they send out wiener dog jerseys to the Yankees and
yeah,
the thing. Like, it's pretty
pretty
cool. But yeah, it's honestly, you can't really describe it unless you go and witness it yourself. It's pretty unique.
My cousin had a wiener dog in the race last year. She's gonna have another one in this year, and she got like 20 tickets this year. And so she was like, "Who wants to go?" And I'm like, I got to work that night, because I think it's the same night as like the Lake State Series here in town. But I do want to ask, I mean, you were only here a year, but, you know, what was your, you know, living experience in Sioux Falls like? Did you, it was kind of your first time in the States, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was for sure. I was really fortunate. I got blessed with a great Bella family and the Jersa family, and they took me in, and yeah, they were great to me. Yeah, it'll be a special place for me all the time. And yeah, it was kind of a smaller town feel than Chicago. Chicago was pretty overwhelming for me coming from that small town, and then coming to Sioux Falls is a little bit easier. Again, like, kind of agriculture based area, so kind of what I'm used to, gravel roads. So
yeah
it was nice.
Yeah, you're gonna be here in a few weeks again when you guys are back. Have you spoken to the Billets? I mean, are they planning on coming out? Or
yeah, I haven't spoken to them this year much, but yeah, I'll definitely be contacting them pretty soon and hoping cool to come out and see them.
I want to get into your rookie season at Tech too, because it was outstanding rookie season. I mean, 36 points, CCHA Rookie of the Year, all CCHA second team. Just talk about what led you to so much success in your rookie season.
Yeah, I think overall just kind of went in with not a ton of expectations, wanted to do well, obviously, and play a lot. But I really found chemistry with my two line mates and kind of found a role in that. Yeah, we started clicking pretty early and I got to learn from them each and every day. So that was huge. And yeah, we just, the puck was just finding me and going in. So it was nice. This year it's been a bit more of a struggle to find those or just to put the puck in the net. I feel like I've generated more chances than I did last year, but some might say maybe I was gripping my stick a little bit tight or something like that. But yeah, for sure.
Now, we ask this to every player that comes on, but did you have like a welcome to college hockey moment? Maybe you got hit a little harder than you thought, or the speed was a little, you got burned on a back check sometime. Did you have one of those moments?
I think my first game was in Duluth, and so that was pretty cool. My family got to come on, that sort of thing, because it's pretty close. But I think just after the first period, realizing how tired I was, and I was like, man, I haven't stopped moving my feet for every shift. I'm just gassed when I get off the ice. Like, what is this? But that was probably my biggest moment where I was just like, man, this is fast hockey. Like, I need to adjust to it. And it took a couple of games, but then once I got my feet under me, it was good.
If we could rewind a little bit, I feel like I skipped over this a little bit, but you originally, before you came to Tech, you were originally committed, I think in 2022, to go to Michigan State. You know, walk me through how that process changed for you and ultimately why you chose Tech.
Yeah. So I talked to Tech early on in my, even when I was back in Manitoba, still playing AAA. So I talked to Tyler, our assistant coach here, and he'd been really good to me. I came on a visit before I end up committing to State, but I committed to State, felt like it was a great fit, but just kind of through my junior experience and that sort of thing, realized I wanted to be a little bit closer to home and just maybe more of a small town feel. I know that's where I feel most comfortable and that sort of thing, and Michigan State being a massive school is maybe a bit overwhelming for me. So ultimately just with my transition and decided to come play Tech, it was more of a location and fit based thing for me, feeling comfortable and just in everyday life as well. Like, you're here for more than just hockey. So that was a big part of it.
No doubt. You know, we talked a little about the individual stuff for you last season. Let's talk about the team aspect a little bit about that freshman season for you. It was a roller coaster of a year for Tech. I mean, you guys really seemed to put it all together toward the end of the season and then made just a big run in the Mason Cup playoffs to get that auto bid to the NCAA tournament. I mean, from the league postseason all the way to the NCAA regionals, what was it like to just be a part of that whole journey there towards the end of the season?
Yeah, I mean, it was special. I mean, even going back to the start of the season, we had high expectations for our group, and that might have hindered us a little bit. We struggled off early and we didn't win a game in non-conference schedule at the start of the year. So it's
right.
That's tough to kind of swallow. We're going in ranked. Like, I think our first preseason poll, we were 7 or 9 or something like that. But so we put that expectation on ourselves and maybe didn't deal with it as well as we could have. But yeah, I think after Christmas, we had a bye week against Bowling Green, and we really just kind of sat down and went back to the basics and realized what we had as a group and had a week of good practice. And after that, we kind of just turned it around and went on a run and really started to believe in ourselves that we could do and just play with anybody. So yeah, and then we just built every weekend from there and yeah, just ran with it.
I remember hearing about that Bowling Green weekend, how big that was. But even going back, I mean, you know, when you start the season off, like you mentioned, that October stretch was pretty tough for you guys. I mean, there were some challenging times, and like you said, no wins in October. And then you had a really, if I remember right, you had a really big breakout series against Augustana, in which you had a hat trick. I mean, just can you sort of walk us through just how much that did for you, your confidence as a freshman?
Yeah, I mean, really after my first goal against Wisconsin, I felt like kind of a weight lifted off my shoulders a little bit. Like, now I can just go out and play, and I know I can support this level. So, the Augustana one was pretty special. They made a really nice play to me for the first one. The second one, I got a bit of a lucky bounce and ended up going in. So that was fortunate. And then third one, empty netter. So it was a pretty special night. And just all of a sudden knowing that I can put the puck in the back net and I belong here and I can be an impact player was huge for me.
Right. I want to ask you about some Piedolas, because this is a no shortage at Tech. But let's start with Blake, because, I mean, he's not just going to go down as one of the all-time greats for Michigan Tech. I mean, he's one of the all-time great goalies in college hockey in the past decade, two decades. And, you know, just how much of an asset was it to have a guy like that behind you every single night, especially on that run toward to the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I mean, first off, with all the Pedalheads, they're just they're gamers. Like, they're so competitive. Like, all they want to do is win, and that's huge for the group. And they definitely show it, and you can tell by Blake's presence and just how he plays the game, like in practice and stuff, just playing against him and competing with him and stuff. It's pretty evident how competitive he is and how much he wants it. And I think that's that competitive spirit really drives him. And just knowing that we have him behind us last year was huge. And we knew that if we needed a big stop, he could come up with it and make it. And it was pretty special to just see how he carried himself around the locker room and just in every aspect of it day to day. I looked up to him a lot, and it was pretty cool to be able to play with him.
And another one, Logan, right? I mean, you got to play alongside him and tons of skill, right? Bigger kid. And just talk about what are some of the things that you took from him, not only on the ice, but from like a mentorship, leadership style of that he had.
Yeah, I mean, it was huge. I roomed with him on the road, and he was my center for basically, he's kind of the only guy that I stuck with throughout the whole year. So it was pretty nice to be able to learn from him, and just if things maybe didn't go well in a game or a weekend or so, like being able to talk to him and just know that he had been through kind of the same ups and downs was pretty good. And just seeing how, I think just how poised and composed he was like under pressure, and seeing how well he dealt with that, and just trying to learn from him from that standpoint. I mean, being able to play in those big scenarios like he was, or he could, was pretty cool, and definitely something that I wanted to learn from.
You know, we talked a little bit about his mentorship. One thing that really stands out about Logan, I remember that. I remember a shootout goal that he had, and I can't remember who it was against, but it was between the legs shot. You just don't see it at the college level that often. Yeah. I mean, just that skill, do you try to like model yourself after that in a lot of ways? And just when you see that happen, I mean, how cool is that at the college level?
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, before that happened against Alaska, I mean, probably saw it goals like that probably 10 times.
Right.
From him. So like, I mean, we knew he could do it, and we weren't really sure what he was going to do when he went down, but when he pulled that off, it was pretty sweet, but it wasn't even really a surprise that he was going to go and do that. But yeah, I think just for me personally, like trying to model it with that skill is just almost just having a free mindset. Like, I know I don't want to bottle myself up into just chip it in, go and get it. I feel like it's playing creative and playing dynamic and like having a multifaceted game is big for me. And I think just playing with that skill is a really big part of my game, and trying to show that every night and create plays with that is huge.
You know, you got the chance to do the Blue Jackets dev camp this summer. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, it went really well, and I had a great time meeting the staff and just kind of getting that my toes wet in that pro environment, and getting that first experience was really cool. And yeah, it was good.
I know when, like I said, when people listen to this episode, you and Northern will have already met for the fifth and sixth time this season. One of those was an exhibition game at the start. But obviously, it's one of the best rivalries in the country and in the CCHA for sure. It's probably the best rivalry in the conference. But, you know, from a player standpoint, what's it like to just be a part of that UP battle?
Yeah, it's almost indescribable. I know everybody here kind of hates Northern. Everybody in Northern hates Tech. So there's going to be people lining up probably tonight for free tickets. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I remember my first experience. I walked out of the rink on a Thursday, and the line was already out the door with people setting up camp and stuff to wait. And then you get into the rink, and it's just sold out, standing room only, and it's just the loudest thing you'll ever be a part of. So it's special.
No doubt.
Before we get into the one hitters at the end, it wouldn't be an episode with a Michigan Tech kid if we didn't mention the Misfits. And it's one of the best student sections in college hockey, best in the CCHA by my understanding. And it's a credit to a group of people that just love you guys and love hockey and love the program. And just what does it mean to you guys to see that support not only at home, but traveling to the Mason Cup game, traveling to the NCAA tournament, raising all that money for it, just for the kind of the small tight-knit community that you guys have out there in Houghton.
I think they're going to have one in Augustana too. I think they're going to have a whole section too. Like they travel all over.
Yeah, they travel crazy lengths. Like there were some of them in California when we were there for the Cup. So it's really special. I mean, we couldn't do what we do without them, and just having that energy and support behind us. Like you walk into class after a big game or something and people are talking to you, and in the halls, they're letting you know that they're pumped that you got the sweep or whatever. So, they're unbelievable. They're nuts, but, we love them, and it's what makes this place special.
And it's not just the kids that are still in school too, right? I mean, it carries on once they graduate, they go into the real world, and you got guys like Matt Cavender still doing the show every week on, Chasing McNaughton. Just what does that say about the community in Houghton that, hey, once you graduate, this still kind of sticks with you, whether you play or you root for them. It's all kind of that same mentality.
Yeah, I think Tech is just a big family. I mean, it's super unique here. And once you're a misfit, I think you're always a misfit. So we have against Clarkson, we had a reunion weekend and they all came back. And it was pretty cool to see just the whole student section packed with misfits. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. We'll close this out with the one hitters here, man. We got about five of them for you.
Okay.
We'll see if we got any other follow ups here, but we'll start with the first one. From your perspective, where's the toughest place to play in this conference?
Ferris.
Yeah. Every time.
Yep. Small rink. It's not what you're used to, and they come out hard and they know how to play in the rink. So I'd say Ferris.
They do.
Now, I got to ask about that because some of the Bemidji kids say that the boards are tilted towards the end. So when you ring the puck around, it'll just keep going forever because the rink is tiny and the boards are like screwed up in the corners to where it's not like a normal rink.
Yeah, it's interesting for sure. The corners are a little different, and just how small the rink is, the boards are bouncy. You throw it off the end wall and send it in the slot. It's sometimes I feel when you're playing out there, when like my first game, it felt like Plinko. Puck was bouncing everywhere. I didn't know what to do. So it takes some adjusting for sure.
No doubt.
I want to get into the golf questions. So who is the best golfer on the team and who is the biggest sandbagger?
Oh, I'll have to give the best golfer to Alex Nordstrom.
Okay.
I mean, you go to the course and he's there. He's never not there in the summertime. So it might be because he knows the course by heart. I mean, he lives here and plays it every single day. So that might be why, but I don't know about the biggest sandbagger. Probably either Logan Morrell or Matthew Campbell.
I can't remember who Chase said.
He might have said Nordy too. I can't remember.
Yeah.
How about the most talented player that you've ever shared the ice with, any level? Is there a guy who stands out?
Yeah, the most skill and talent would be Jaden Perron.
Okay.
Yeah, played with him growing up, played with him in Chicago for a bit, and just growing up with him, we skate together in the summer. We've been skating together for basically our whole lives. So seeing his hands and his craftiness every day is, I mean, I've been on the worst end of it, and I've also been able to play with him and be a facilitator of it, but it's it's pretty crazy to see how much skill that guy can and creativity that guy uses every time he's on ice.
Who is the most famous person in your cell phone?
Probably Rick Nash.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That rivals.
I like that.
Aaron Trotter said Connor Bedard. So that's the closest we've got.
Okay. Yeah. Rick Nash or Matt Calvert is my agent. So it's is one of them. So yeah, one of those two. They both had really healthy careers in the NHL. So,
yeah, they did.
All right, and the last one we got for you: the most superstitious guy on the team.
Might have to be either. I think maybe myself. I don't know.
Oh,
I haven't really noticed other people. Like, some guys don't like anybody touching their stick. They'll go hide it or something. But I don't know. It's tough to say. Everyone has their own things. Like, mine is how I got to tape my stick and that sort of thing. And if it's not really – oh, lights turned on. yeah, it's tough to say. Like, you don't really know everybody's superstitions unless you really try to ask them about it and pick their brains about it. But, yeah, I'd say I'm a little stitious for sure.
Other than, do you have anything other than taping your stick weird that you do?
Just like pregame meal, nap, the whole routine. It's got to be on point. And then, yeah, just everything I do has got to be kind of the same every single day game.
We should bring up what Trotter told us a few weeks back. He, his superstition, was it Trotter? He had the, he took like a spoonful of maple syrup before every game.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that was gross.
I thought that was cool. He's Canadian, and I was like, I think he saw somebody do it with honey, and he thought he'd adapt it and just do like a Canadian version of it.
There was done with honey, but I've never heard of the maple syrup. It's probably a little too expensive to.
Oh yeah, at this point.
There was like another guy on Lake State that had like a voodoo doll in his
stomach. Oh, that's right. That's right.
Connor Milburn told us, I can't remember who it was, but that was crazy. That was
a good one too.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't have anything going on like that. So,
well, you don't need it right now with the way you guys are playing. So keep up the good work and best of luck this weekend at Northern. And hopefully we'll see you down the road too.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
All right, once again, thank you to Isaac Gordon for joining the show. Subscribe to the CCHA show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And subscribe to the CCHA on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at Trent Singer, at Jared Rubato BP. You can check out our work at BemidjiPioneer.com and SiouxFallsLive.com.